Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. So here's a fun topic we haven't talked about in a while. What with all the climate and war and all that fun stuff, we've neglected talking about H5N1 bird flu. And while we stop talking about it, it does not stop evolving and changing and growing and causing havoc and problems and concern in the background. As a matter of fact, there are multiple articles that have come out in just the last week or two talking about the effects of H5N1. And many of those effects don't have to be some massive spillover into humans in order for this to be a serious contributor to catabolic collapse. And we'll go over some of why that is today. So first of all, an article from phys.org is titled H5N1 in Marine Mammals is Spreading. Research tallies over 50,000 seals and sea lions killed along South America's coast. When the H5N1 highly pathogenic avian influenza virus was discovered on a poultry farm in Asia in 1996, there was little indication that it would become so widespread and so destructive. Within 30 years, it reached every continental region except Oceania, infecting more than 400 million poultry, tens of thousands of elephant, seals, and sea lions, about 1,000 people, and many other mammals and wild birds. Pinnipeds, which include seals and sea lions, have been hit unusually hard by the virus. A study from the University of California, Davis, steps back to look at the overall impact of the virus on pinnipeds worldwide and offers recommendations for moving forward to monitor, characterize risk, and build resilience in the affected species. The paper is published in Philosophical Transactions B as part of a themed issue, Managing Infectious Marine Diseases in Wild Populations. It states that throughout Peru, Chile, Brazil, Uruguay, and Argentina, highly pathogenic avian flu outbreaks have killed at least 36,000 South American sea lions, 17,400 southern elephant seals, and 1,000 South American fur seals. Quote, this is a huge, unprecedented conservation risk. Now, we are at sea animals are under great duress and attack due to pollution in our oceans, due to eutrophication and dead zones, due to the warming waters, due to changes in salinity, due to changes in currents, plastics, knock-on effects to food chains, and of course, diseases. So when you take into effect this number of mammals that are being affected by this disease alone and combine it with all the other issues we're experiencing in our ocean life, it can't really be understated how much danger there is to the stability of overall ocean ecosystems. This paper talks about how elephant seals are a canary in the coal mine. She says, and this is Marcella Uhart, co-author of this paper, southern elephant seals were the canary in the coal mine, alerting us to a bigger issue of pinnipeds throughout the entire world. We can do something better to be prepared the next time before it spreads to other species. The paper has a bunch of key recommendations about how to try and prevent this, further issues in the future. Fund and support long-term wildlife monitoring, conduct surveillance between and during outbreaks, build stronger communication and coordination networks among local, national, and global researchers, make wildlife health surveillance a routine part of conservation research, improve technologies for non-invasive monitoring, pursue high-level policy changes and international agreements, and address concurrent conservation threats. Now, look, I just want to point out, number one, that it is great that they have ways that they feel like they can help lower the risk of the disease spreading perhaps in the future if they are to take these steps. More crucially, though, the steps that are listed here are all very resource-intensive steps, talking about money, time, energy, political willpower, human resource, other types of capital. Is it worth putting forward these efforts? Well, yes, absolutely. The amount of life that we're talking about and saving the ecosystems, this is massively important. That said, the question comes up is, do we have those resources? And what are we sacrificing by spending resources on this when there are so many other areas in which those resources are also needed. This is a classic catch-22 or issue that we experience in regards to catabolic collapse. We're already experiencing, in the US especially, but worldwide, a decrease in the amount of funding available for these types of research projects. The US government is actively seeking to destroy those types of research grants and funding, and doing so in a catastrophic way. But in every part of the world, the amount of resources available for this type of thing are also decreasing. So will we see these resources put in place, and will they have the desired effect? It's one thing to put together a research paper and say, no need to worry, here are things that we can do to fix it. It's a whole other thing to follow through and actually successfully carry out those things to help fix the problem. Okay, so this was one article talking about a specific set of mammals in a specific geographical location and the devastating effect that H5N1 avian influenza has had. South America is not the only place that this has been taking place. There's another article from the University of Minnesota talking about how, quote, more animals die from H5N1 avian flu at Año Nuevo State Park in California. So this is California officials. They've confirmed that 9 more elephant seals, a sea lion, and an otter have died from avian flu at Año Nuevo State Park in San Mateo County. As you probably imagine, they say, this count reflects only the animals that have gone through sampling and confirmatory testing in multiple labs. So there are likely more animals that we will be updating on in the coming weeks. That according to Christine Johnson, VMD, PhD, director of the Institute for Pandemic Insights at University of California. So very often they go through all this testing in order to really be able to confirm what they died from. And these numbers that they're giving are just the ones that recently they have tested in multiple labs to verify. There were multiple articles out this week about seals, sea lions, and otters dying in California and around U.S. coasts. Now, what about some other effects of the H5N1? I mentioned earlier that there's catabolic collapse risk from this. This being one of just many hundred or thousands of different things happening all at once, contributing to our steady march downward along the catabolic collapse pathway. Multiple countries, and there are separate articles to read for each of these, have been banning imports based on the fear of bringing in H5N1 infected produce or products. So this is in an article by visahq.com. It says Hong Kong bans poultry imports from 5 nations after fresh H5N1 alerts. Hong Kong Center for Food Safety moved swiftly on the 16th of March to suspend all poultry meat and egg imports from designated zones in France, Germany, Italy, Poland, and Argentina, following the World Organization for Animal Health notifications of new highly pathogenic avian influenza outbreaks. Likewise, in the Daily Tribune out of the Philippines, it says bird flu outbreak triggers Philippines import ban. In this specific case, the Philippine government has suspended poultry imports from the U.S. state of Indiana. These were interesting to me because these were just reports from this week of new bans. There are various bans all over where trade is essentially being halted due to new outbreaks in various parts of the world. We've seen the effects that this can have, for example, on egg prices. I saw another article talking about the amount of chickens that were culled in Vietnam this week versus poultry that was culled some, you know, here and there. So there's hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of animals being killed, typically used for the production of food and trade, contributing to economies that are being decimated still today by H5N1. And this is, again, a scourge that has been going on now for years. Another study found that bird flu is going rampant among black vultures. And the study that found that also points to year-round H5N1 circulation amongst those birds. The University of Georgia tested birds and found that more than 4 out of every 5 dead black vultures examined tested positive for H5N1. It says the actual toll of the virus on the integral species is likely exponentially higher, though the research warned. These birds may represent tens or hundreds of thousands of black vultures, according to the lead author of the study. And this makes sense. They have, it says, indiscriminate scavenging of dead animals allows for that spread to happen quite easily. They said that this year-round cycle of disease is concerning. Sustained transmission means more opportunities for the virus to mutate, and more opportunities to mutate means the potential to become more virulent and pose a bigger threat to other species, including humans. So look, over the years that we've talked about this, it's always sort of the main fear is that it becomes this highly virulent, deadly strain that can be passed amongst humans, becoming the next COVID-19 with potentially a much more deadly species, and in an environment where governments, especially the U.S. government, is much less likely or willing to do any sort of preliminary preparation or, in the event, you know, shut things down like they did during COVID. Can we say at this point that we are closer or much closer to that happening? Well, it's unknown. With every mutation, yes, it does become more likely. It does get closer. But with the amount that it is propagated in the wild, it's unknown how many different variations there are, how many mutations, how exactly, you know, how deadly are those, how virulent are they, and how likely are they to be able to infect humans and hit a point where a human could infect another human. It's still up in the air, and we won't likely know until it actually happens, if it actually happens. To touch more on the economic concern around H5N1, financialexpress.com talks about how for India, government makes registration mandatory for all poultry farms across country. Now, in most countries, you would hope that registration of a poultry farm was something that was already happening. But in a country as developing and as large as India, that was not the case. And this type of thing adds cost, it adds compliance to many of these farmers. Again, that should already be a thing. That sort of compliance, that sort of regulation protects people in the long term, but it can still have a severe negative economic impact when farms are not used to having to do that in the first place. If it leads to farms shutting down, it puts strains on supply, et cetera, et cetera. Now, why are they requiring this? Well, it says H5N1 bird flu was detected in 34 epicenters across 8 states in India. So they have a growing problem that they are trying to tackle and get control of. All right. Again, this is one of those where the idea is not to stress or freak out about bird flu before it ever becomes a thing. But it is one of those things that we just want to carefully watch. And it comes up every several months on the podcast. We'll do check-ins to see where it stands. Is the situation getting better? Is it getting worse? What new news is there? Each time we've done this over the past probably, 3 years now that we've been talking about it, there always seems to be another, every 6 months or so, every year, something big will happen where suddenly it's found in a new mammal, right? It's found in pigs or it's found in ferrets, taking it that much closer to a potential mutation with humans. We can hope that that doesn't happen, that bird flu sort of melts away into the background of everything else and eventually stops spreading. Maybe it mutates itself to death. And I really hope that there does not come a day in which I am doing this episode on H5N1 with the more urgent or concerned or serious air of saying there's great concern that this has potentially spread between humans and it's time to take drastic measures to protect yourself. Always wise to have some sort of protection beforehand. If you went into COVID already owning masks, already having ample amounts of hand sanitizer, for example, and being prepped up with your basics, you know, household needs in case you can't get those at the store. Those types of things are always smart to do, whether it's for H5N1 or whether it's the hundreds or thousands of other things that could come our way. Always wise to be at least minimally prepared for these things. All right. Appreciate you being here. We'll see you later. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.